Greetings and salutations. This is the Untitled Joshcast, episode number 2. My name is Josh Gershman. I am joined, as always, by my co-host and co-Josh, Josh Hammond.
Hi, friends. It's opening day. Sort of. That's sad. How do you feel about that?
I have a lot of feelings about it, and we're going to get into them in a second. But we need to finish the intro first.
No, I just want to sit here in my Salvador Perez jersey.
Ooh. Is he still on the Royals?
He should be, assuming okay. That there's a season.
We're going to get back to all this in a second. This is our weekly podcast where we discuss not just baseball and the Royals, but also what we've been doing in our lives, how everything has been going. And we try to have a little fun, especially while we're on lockdown and in quarantine and practicing good social distancing habits. If you like this podcast, if you like what you hear, you can go to patreon.com/untitledjoshcast to support the show at any level you're comfortable with, to get all kinds of benefits from exclusive episodes to early ad-free access and so much more. Before we get into today's episode, we have to do a little bit of housekeeping from the last episode. Two things. During the episode, which of course was titled The Aaron Sorkin Cinematic Universe, we did not discuss The Social Network, which is a great film. It's like the most Aaron Sorkin, Sorkiniest Sorkin of all time.
It is pretty Sorkin-y.
It's like if there was a real life human being who was just made to be Sorkined, it's Mark Zuckerberg.
Mark Zuckerberg was created by Sorkin in a Sorkin lab.
I wonder if what's his face? I almost called him Mark Sorkin. Aaron Sorkin has talked a little bit about, like, people ask him all the time, oh, how would you do The West Wing in 2020 or something like that? I wonder how he would do The Social Network 10 years later, 5 years later, however long it's been, just with like all the chaos with Facebook and the election and all this other nonsense, like how he would portray Mark Zuckerberg nowadays rather than, you know, teenage and early 20s Mark Zuckerberg.
I don't know. I feel like you just described The West Wing.
I guess I did. Well, I guess that answers both questions. The other thing that happened last week is that we signed off, you were going to go make some pie. And I'm sure the hundreds, if not thousands of listeners right now are really interested in the pie. Please, please tell us about the pie.
I mean, there was pie. So we went to make a peach pie. And we didn't have enough good peaches to make a peach pie because it's not peach season. And also because of the quarantine, on top of everything else that has been stolen, apparently all of the good peaches had been stolen. So we gathered all of the fruit from the house that we had, which happened to be peach, mango, and apple. And we just kind of experimented. And we were like, let's throw all this together. Let's make it like we normally would make a pie. We'll throw in spices. We'll do vanilla. We'll do cinnamon. And the pie was fine. It was an okay pie. I don't believe we used enough cinnamon. And it was a little runny. It was more like a pot pie than a pie pie.
Did you use any cornstarch?
We used a lot of cornstarch, but we also used a lot of fruit.
Okay.
It got very liquidy.
How did it taste?
It needed more cinnamon. It was good other than that. Once we added the cinnamon in and we blended it with vanilla ice cream, it was an adequate pie. It's not something that anybody from the South is going to be knocking down my door for the recipe for, but you know, in the state of where we are right now, it was adequate pie.
Okay. Are there going to be any future pie attempts?
There are going to be future pie attempts. We're going to try to figure out other things. I think that we might experiment soon with producer Ryland's father's world famous banana bread ingredient. Oh.
Okay.
Would you like to talk to them about that for a second?
I would be happy to interject. The banana bread recipe is also known as the banana bread almond joy recipe because of its coconut involvement and mint topping. So it really has a kick that you wouldn't expect. And I haven't made it in at least 3 or 4 years. So this also might be a baking fail, but I look forward to trying.
Do you want to stick up for your pie?
I was proud of the creativity and love that went into the pie, and the outcome isn't always the most important thing. I think the experience in this case was most important.
So I think what you're saying is it was the destination. I mean, it was the journey. It wasn't the destination.
Oh, I was going to say it's like Christmas. It's the gift that matters. It's the giving, not the receiving.
I think other Josh's metaphor was better.
Okay.
We're going to tap out.
Thank you. That was producer Rylan, everybody. Also, if you would ship me one of those Almond Joy banana breads, that would be great. I don't know if you can ship. I don't know if you can ship the big goods during the quarantine, but I'm sure we can find a way around that.
We'll try our best.
Okay.
Wash your hands before you do it.
Yes.
This is a coronavirus-free podcast.
God willing, it is. Now let's get into the podcast, which is very much about the coronavirus. What we're going to talk about today is sports. Josh is a big sports fan. I, too, am a big sports fan. If you out there are a big sports fan, it is in all likelihood your favorite team's season is on hold / canceled / in limbo.
Unless you like bowling.
Well, I don't know. Is the PBA, the Pro Bowler Tour, is that going on right now?
I don't know. Josh is going to Google it.
Okay. This is the segment of the podcast called One Josh Talks and One Josh Googles. I will be doing the talking. Josh will be doing the Googling. Every sport right now is on hold or in some weird state of limbo. Josh, as he alluded to in the intro, he's a diehard Kansas City Royals fan. And so was waiting on pins and needles for opening day, which is supposed to have been today, March the something. I don't know what day it is anymore, but it would have been today. It's like that's obviously a big marker on the calendar in every year when opening day, when baseball comes back. I don't follow baseball as closely, certainly as much as I used to, but it's obviously a big day on the calendar. For me, it's the suspension of the Premier League in England and my beloved Liverpool Football Club. Cannot play right now, but we'll get back to that later. I'm very eager for a bowling update. What do you got?
I have a bowling update for you.
Hit me.
As of March 13th at 5:15 p.m., the PBA World Championship Final that were scheduled to air live on Fox Sports 1 have been postponed.
Oh, no. My heart goes out to them.
We don't even have bowling.
All right, let's get back to yours and mine's respective loves. Tell me about the Kansas City Royals, Josh. Paint me a word picture.
Dude, we're clown shoes. We're not good. We haven't been good. We went to the World Series and lost. And then we went to the World Series and won. And then the very next season, everything that we had that was talented went to other teams.
What was this season like? Give me your level of optimism for this season.
I think we would have sucked a little bit less than last year.
I mean, that's really as much as you can hope for, I guess.
That's the best we could do.
How do you think? Because they had started spring training like in early March. How do you think this season's going to go? Like, I think I saw a date somewhere of like June or something of when they wanted to start by, but I don't even know if that's realistic.
Yeah, they think June might be possible, but who knows? I've seen some really interesting, weird updates that like they've considered playing a full season in the World Series being as late November or early December, which I don't know even like how do you do that? Like, if you get a Toronto and Minneapolis World Series, like, are that's not even possible because they're both in the American League. But the point is, in some weird fictional place where two really cold places could play the World Series. Are you sending guys out in 15 inches of snow to play the World Series? I've also read that they've considered shortening the season. I mean, I don't, this is, I'm kind of winging this. Shortening the season and adding teams to the playoffs so that, like, the playoffs are expanded and bigger. I don't know. It's been interesting. From everything that I've seen, they don't want to shorten the season, and they're trying to figure out how to fix it. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. In terms of the Royals, there are some sad things, though. There's a really good chance that this is Alex Gordon's final season, and so there's a good chance he's not going to get a fair, like, farewell tour, which is sad because he's been a lifelong Royal. I don't know. It's a bummer. Your sports case is far more of a bummer than mine, though.
Oh, man. Okay, so Liverpool Football Club, they're my pride and joy. I just love them so much. So the Premier League in England, their season is on a different calendar, whereas the baseball season here in the US runs from March through October, sometimes into November. The Premier League season starts in August and runs through the following May. So it's like a lot of leagues that span years. In England and in Europe, you might be familiar, it's far more temperate. They don't have to deal with snow and ice and, you know, Minneapolis, for one thing. So hence the change of their season thing. So the season started as it was supposed to in August of 2019. Do you even remember August of 2019? Because I sure don't.
I have no idea. I don't think any of us were alive then.
I'm not even joking. I mean, I'm kind of joking because I'm always like a little silly. It sounded weird just to say that out loud. Like, I have no concept of time anymore.
That's anyway, pretty weird.
August 2019, the season starts in England, where it's supposed to. Liverpool Football Club, who last year they finished second by 1 point to Manchester City. The way in which last season unfolded was just amazing for Liverpool, and it could only have been surpassed by like an even amazinger season. Yet I said it. By Manchester City to beat them by 1 point at the end. Heartbreaking, yes, but then a couple of weeks later, Liverpool wins the Champions League. I was in tears. It was amazing. So it was a little bit of redemption for not winning the Premier League, but like still a little bit of a sour note. Then we skip ahead all summer. We get into August. We get into the start of the Premier League season. Liverpool is just killing everybody. Like, just call the police. They're killing everyone. It was amazing. I'm on the edge of my seat. They're like winning games by a lot. They're winning scrappy games. It was the storybook. The storybook was beginning. The opening chapters of the storybook were being written. And it wasn't long before it was like, oh man, how many points is Liverpool going to rack up? Just how well are they going to do this season? Can anybody catch them? Yada, yada, yada. Anytime in any league where you have somebody running away with it, it's those kinds of things. And then for the Premier League, you have like the calendar benchmarks, right? Who they wouldn't say Thanksgiving, but at Christmas, at New Year's, like these are at that point in the calendar, the teams that are winning are generally going to win, or the teams that are winning by this much, they're generally going to continue to win. And, you know, I continued to hope and dream that this could be Liverpool's season. Liverpool, if you don't know, if you aren't aware, have not won the league title in something like 30 years. It's been a long time. And like in the intervening 30 years, there have been some down times, to put it lightly. For me, obviously, I can't speak to 30 years of having watched the team. I have about a decade in right now of my diehard Liverpool fandom. So I like to think I've put in my time. I've seen some very sad things, and I've seen them come back from amazing things. And like this season, man, right where we are right now, where the season stopped, they were 2 wins away with like 8 weeks to go, maybe even more, 10 weeks to go They only had to win two more matches to like guarantee that they were going to win the whole thing. And then they had to call for the suspension of the league. And it's just, oh God, it's just heartbreaking.
That is heartbreaking. That's, I can relate to that.
It's not, there's been, you know, like obviously nobody is in their heart of hearts. No one's like mad about this, right? Like England, they're dealing with the coronavirus and they're socially distancing themselves from one another. They're doing all the things that we're doing here. But it's still certainly like a huge effect there. And like, it's not the thing that, the thing that is the most worrisome in the complete first world of first worldliest problems is that they would just cancel the season and have to start it over. Cause like the, you know, when it, you, there's no way. And like, I believe in this team more than anyone. There's no way they could repeat what they've done this far. Like if they had to start the season over, if they just canceled the 2019-2020 season and said it didn't exist. Oh, that would be very painful to a lot of people, myself included.
It is pretty sad. It's hard. I can understand that feeling where you get so close to winning it all and then watch it all dwindle away. In the World Series that we went to, the first one before we went back and won it, I can remember Alex Gordon getting to third base literally 90 feet away from tying up the game in the ninth inning. And then we lost. And I can remember standing in a bar in downtown Manhattan crying, surrounded by Royals fans, just crying. And I imagine that this, in a strange way, feels kind of like that.
It's, yeah. I mean, right now it feels very numb, right? Because there's no resolution. In England, actually, there are like 400 tiers of professional and semi-professional and then backyard soccer, essentially. And what there's like the FA, the Football Association, is the governing body of all things football in England. And they've already started to cancel seasons of the lower leagues. Obviously, they haven't gotten as high as the top flight leagues, but they've already started to do that. And I can't help but be pessimistic that they're already setting the precedent for having to cancel the Premier League. Oh, it just kills me.
Well, in other weird things that seem to be happening in sports, from what I can tell, if they launch MLB baseball again this season, like if for, in some weird way we come out of all of this and in July we start things or August we start things, they are looking or to possibly start the season with the All-Star game. Like you would come out and the first thing that happens instead of an opening day would be an All-Star opening day.
Huh. That's interesting.
It'd be the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
But in terms of getting people to pay attention and getting people to watch, probably not the worst idea I've heard.
Oh yeah. That's a hell of a way to launch it.
What do you think about a shortened season? Like, I agree. Playing in November is just ridiculous. No one's going to play in Minneapolis in November.
I can't imagine sitting outside. I mean, producer Rylan, you go to school in that area. You want to tell them what winter's like?
I was wearing my down coat since early October, so I wouldn't recommend any sporting events after that period of time.
So just imagine trying to catch a foul ball in a heavy down coat. That does not sound like a lot of fun.
Let's focus on what it would feel like to catch Chapman's 102 mile an hour fastball in negative 12 degree weather.
That sounds like a big ow.
Yeah, to it me. Sounds pretty painful.
Yeah, that's gonna hurt some people. What are your thoughts on a shortened season though? Like, what if they started in July at the All-Star game, or what if, regardless of when they start? Let's say they just started with, this is the All-Star game, we're gonna play 80 games.
I've seen them talk about 144 games instead of 162. And they're talking about the way that they could pull that off is if they played a lot of doubleheaders.
But that's like saying, sir, we need to amputate your foot. And you're responding with, okay, just take the big toe. I'll
just
be fine.
Take the toes. Yeah. I think they should play a half season. I think the thing that's really hard about playing a half season, baseball is the type of sport where you don't really hit your stride until you're 30 or 40 games in.
Yeah.
So it does mess with the game. It does mess with like, I mean, I keep coming back to this, but if you had played an 80-game season the year we won the World Series, we wouldn't have won the World Series. We wouldn't have even been in the playoffs. Because we got hot in a way that allowed us to surge at the right time. I don't know. I'm not the right person to ask. I'm a purist. I would rather them go play in high school gyms and play the entire time if possible. There are indoor stadiums. Like, make everybody play in the indoor stadiums. I know that that is not actually feasible, but like, there are ways you could do it. Schedule all the cold games, the travel games early in the season, and then play everything else at the end of the year in the South. Like, there are ways to maybe not make it work, but make it sort of work. I don't know. This is why I'm not the commissioner of baseball.
Oh, man. I mean, you just opened up so many questions about what you would happen if you were the commissioner of baseball. But let's table that. We'll make that
that's
another episode.
A whole different podcast
of how Josh would change baseball if he were the commissioner. What I do want to ask you, though, is what are your thoughts about playing in empty stadiums? Because that's something that in Europe, right before everything really went on lockdown, there were a couple of soccer matches that were played in empty stadiums, and it was just a bizarre thing to watch, like to watch the clips of. Like, the things you could hear that you wouldn't normally hear, and I don't mean like the player, I mean like just the sounds of the ball and like all these things is really bizarre. And I know that in the NBA, I think it was LeBron who said that he wouldn't show up if there weren't going to be fans there.
Yeah, I think if you are going to play in an empty stadium, I don't think there's a reason to shorten the season. There's just not. You can pick one or two stadiums that aren't necessarily stadiums that you would normally play in. Like, it doesn't have to be somebody's stadium. Or, like, you pick Toronto, but Toronto plays someplace else. You pick Milwaukee, and Milwaukee plays someplace else. And you pick Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay plays someplace else. And then you just play all of your games. Like, you just set people up so that all of the games are played indoor. And there is no home team, there is no away team. Because there's no reason for a home or away team if you don't have a crowd behind you cheering. So just pick the indoor stadiums and finish out the schedule.
Yeah, I think that... So, like, right now in the U.S., certainly baseball is on hold. They didn't even get their season started. The NBA suspended their season because they were right in the middle. The NHL suspended their season because they were also in the middle. The NFL have their annual draft coming up in a few weeks in Las Vegas, which isn't Las Vegas like on lockdown.
I think so.
And they're still, well, I mean, this was also a couple days ago. Things might have changed. They're still planning on holding the draft, but with no fans. So that's just like, why bother doing it at all? Just do the draft as a Zoom conference call, like all of us do every day, and just get it over with that way. And that, like, but like, God only knows, you know?
It's a weird world right now.
When and if and how, like, the shape of sports when it comes back will be very interesting. Whatever happens this year is going to be, you know, a big asterisk in every sports record books. But, you know, sports is always it's always a good marker of like where we are as a society. Of like, I remember this is going to take a turn. I remember after 9/11 when the Yankees finally played again. Because like, I was in New York, that was a big deal.
Well, it was like, Yankees Mets. They played each other.
Well, that World Series was the year before. But in September, the season's still going. So like, it was just a big deal when baseball was finally back in the country. In New York, let alone in the rest of the country. But like, it's one of those things. I mean, that was, you know, there weren't any other sports that were happening in the beginning of September. Hockey and the NHL, or hockey and the basketball hadn't started yet. Football, I can't remember what the deal is with the NFL. I think maybe they just suspended like the first week or two of the season. But it wasn't like it is now, where everything is on hold and seasons had to stop in the middle. Some couldn't even get started. It's like the shape that sports takes when it finally comes back, and like the shape of our country as a whole. Remember when we said we're going to have fun on this podcast? the shape this country as a whole is in when sports finally comes back, I think will be very telling.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm incorrect. The Mets played the Pittsburgh Pirates. They made sure that the Mets got the first game back. And then the second game back was the New York Yankees at the Chicago White Sox.
Okay.
Yeah, it was very interesting, like, that all other sports paused. I remember I was in college, and they canceled the K-State game, and, like, all of NCAA didn't play that week. So it was really interesting to me that, you know, baseball was like, no, you know, we're going to be the hope, the thing that people can distract themselves by. We're going to be what people can go to because, you know, we are America's pastime.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. And then the other big casualty. That would have been a little poor choice of words. The other big sporting event that is not happening this year, among big sporting events that are not happening this year, are the Summer Olympics that were supposed to be in Tokyo, that were supposed to start, I think it was like July 24th or 25th, something like that. The end of July is when they were supposed to start. And I remember they were just recently postponed to next year, I think.
Yeah, I think they moved them by 1 year.
Obviously that's the right thing to do. Like you can't plan for something like this in Japan, which is at least geographically close to South Korea and China, where there was a lot of instances of the coronavirus. People coming from all over the world to that area of the world, even though it's certainly, I think, in a better state now than it was when it started, for sure. The U.S. has, it's just a dumpster fire over here, so don't come to the U.S. Where was I going with this? I swear this was a fun podcast.
I feel like you were talking about something upbeat, or it's very possible that you're just trying to talk about sports night again.
I think you probably sussed me out, but the Olympics had to move. Like, it just had to happen. What I did like, though, is I saw something that I think it was like the U.S. Olympic Committee said something like anybody who had already qualified will still be qualified for next year. Like, they won't make people qualify again and stuff like
that. That's cool. It'll also be cool because we will get an Olympics and a World Baseball Classic in the same year.
And next summer, they moved the big European soccer tournament that was going to be this summer to next summer. So, like, next summer is bound to be chock full of sports.
Sports on steroids.
No pun intended.
I probably shouldn't say sports on steroids. Start a whole controversy again.
Okay. We have talked a bit about sports. How are you feeling? What is your current mental state like? Current, like, in quarantine right now?
My honest state, I feel fine. I feel perfectly okay, but I'm an introvert. Like, this is how I live normally. But there's a bit of anxiety. Like, the news is stressing me out a little. I picked the most stressful video game in the world to play while I was doing this. I bought a game because it was on, they tricked me. It was on sale. And I was like, this looks really fun. It's called Don't Starve. And so literally it's me trying to survive in the real world. And then my escape is to turn on my PlayStation 4 and try not to starve to death in this video game. And then I go to Target to try to buy ground chuck to make burgers and fries. And there's no meat there either. So it's Don't Starve in my real life too. So it was a poor choice. But outside of my video game choice, like, I'm doing fine. I feel good. Got lots of Gatorade. Showering every day. I'm wearing pants, unlike most of America.
That's been my favorite. Like, everybody working from home that would never be working from home before. It's just all these fun stories of Zoom calls and people's kids and pets or significant others interrupting Zoom calls. It's just delightful.
Yeah. If you remember the first job I got before my current position in my field, I worked from home for 3 years.
Yeah.
So this is pretty normal for me.
Yeah, and I think some people certainly are more attuned to it, whether it's something that they whether it's something that's unique to their industry, which is to be remote unless you're not, or it's just something where you were already working remotely because of X, Y, or Z. And then other people are like trying to figure that out. One of the things that I did pre-coronavirus, pre-quarantine, is I would just watch the Bon Appetit YouTube channel like it was my job. Like I just love, I mean, I like love cooking and I love being in the kitchen, and that's where I spend most of my time anyway. And the Bon Appetit crew, they're just all wonderful people. I don't know any of them personally, so I'm projecting a little bit, because like if they turn out to be jerks, that would really break my heart. So I'm hoping that they are actually wonderful people in real life.
You and I are taking very different approaches to what is on in the background while we're working.
That's fair. But they go ahead. Sorry.
I've been watching a lot of dark web mystery box unboxings, and that's not the same as Bon Appetit at all.
No, I wouldn't think so.
No.
But it's been interesting to see. So like the Bon Appetit YouTube channel is based on the dozen or so cooks and other staff being literally in the office, physically in the kitchen cooking. And they can't do that right now. Their office is in the, I think it's in the New World Trade Center. So obviously like they can't go to that office. So you have people just randomly spread out across the five boroughs here in New York and in New Jersey and in upstate. And there were, I think there's at least two people that I can think off the top of my head that are on vacation or at least like out on assignment. And now they're just stuck there. And so like they put this, like this little package together, this little like clip show of everybody in their current temporary kitchens. And for some people, it's their home kitchens. Like if they live in New York, their home in New York and their home kitchens. For someone else, it was, he was in like his parents' kitchen in his parents' house because that's where he was and now he can't leave. For someone else, he was in Mexico because he was on like on a thing in Mexico and now he's just in Mexico.
That's all so, how we've done the Mexico thing.
That's true. We did do the Mexico thing. That is a deep cut. That's a Josh and Josh deep cut. But yeah, it's been wild. It's wild, man. Like I'm doing my best. This without getting too mushy, this podcast is like it's keeping me going a little bit because like it gives me something to do other than stare out the window. Like,
Media distance.
Yes. I should say, like, I do have a regular job. That's keeping me busy. I'm not neglecting that. But on the weekends, right? Like I am very good. Maybe too good about disconnecting from work on the weekends. And like, I just get depressed. I can't get off the couch, but like at least podcast stuff keeps me going. So I'm grateful for that.
So what I'm hearing is you don't want me to tell your boss how much Fortnite we've played since we started this.
I think that'd be fine.
Okay.
I think that's fine because like, again, it's, you know, it's after it, we're, I'm off the clock. We're playing Fortnite.
I know.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
What you're trying to do is get me in trouble, and I can't appreciate that. I appreciate the prank aspect of it.
It's a lot of Fortnite.
It is. We have been playing our fair share of Fortnite, which will eventually make its way onto the podcast.
That's true.
In some form.
We're going to Twitch for y'all at some point.
Oh, it's going to be good. Okay. I think that is going to about do it for our sports-centric episode of the Untitled Joshcast. Do you have any final thoughts, sport related or otherwise?
No.
Okay.
I know that was the point of the podcast where you're supposed to throw it to me and I'm supposed to be like, here's a deep and intimate thought that I've been sitting on for the last 45 minutes just to send this out on an amazing thing. I'm going to knock this right out of the park, but I can't knock it out of the park because there's no baseball.
Oh, that hurts.
Yep.
That hurts.
Yep.
Okay. Well, then let's continue, or let's wrap this up and then we'll continue on with our lives. If you have enjoyed this show, please leave us a nice rating or review on Apple Podcasts and or a follow on Spotify or Google Podcasts or wherever you happen to be listening. Those things would really help us out. If you want to support the show financially, you can do so at patreon.com/untitledjoshcast, where you can get exclusive episodes, early access, and so much more. The show is written and hosted by me, Josh Gershman, and Josh Hammond. It is edited by me, and it is produced by Ryland James. The podcast's intro music is Gemini by Alki, and the song you're hearing right now in the background is Cautious by Amorosa. Both appear on the Untitled Joshcast with permission from the artists. This and is both the section.
Kick ass.
They do kick ass. This is the section of the credits where we would list off all of our Patreon producer backers at the $25 level or above, which you can go and do and sign up if you are so inclined. We hope you have enjoyed this episode of the Untitled Joshcast. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.
Bye, friends.
I got to be cautious.